Stay standing, if you will, as we read God's Word. I'll be in Luke chapter 1. Now, this is our text of 57 through the rest of the chapter. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There's nobody among your relatives who has that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. He asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us, and he accomplished redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance in Israel. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we hear from your word, may you open our ears to hear what your spirit wants to say to us through your word. May the words that I speak be faithful to your text. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to Constance for bringing our thoughts towards Lord's Supper and Communion. Constance is one of our seniors this year at Washington Avenue and is planning on going to Ozark Christian College this next year. Yeah. Spoken like a true graduate. Yeah. And with today being kind of that post-Thanksgiving tryptophanic place that some of you are in, it is okay if you lean back a little bit. The pews do not recline, so you're going to be leaning over or something like that. But I did not have any tryptophan turkey this year. We went to Bethany's and had homemade enchiladas. So, yeah. So I'll be belching through this. Just kidding. Yeah. But on the heels of Thanksgiving always comes this season, as was mentioned, and as you look around the room, this season of Christmas, this Advent, this celebration of the Christ child coming into our world. And as many of you know, that it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving for me to begin to celebrate Christmas, because my Christmas music comes out, well, it came out like 30 days ago. And this past week, something happened in the middle of my Christmas music. Somebody snuck in a Thanksgiving song. Right in the middle of all my shuffling around of the playlist of my music, a song came out. Actually, it is on a holiday Christmas album by Josh Groban, and it's a song called Thankful. And I was listening to it. There was a couple of lines in the song that were quite fitting for today, not only because Thanksgiving, but also where we're going with in our text. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is how it starts out. Some days we forget to look around us. Some days we can't see the joy that surrounds us. So caught up inside ourselves, we take when we should give. So for tonight, we pray for what we know can be. And on this day, we hope for what we still can't see. Zechariah will be hoping for what at the moment he still could not see, but he was getting glimpses of through the birth of his child. The song ends this way, and even though this world needs so much more, there's so much to be thankful for. I pray that kind of each and every day that you as well as I are reminded to be thankful and to give thanks for just the things around us, the things that we have. And even looking back in our relationship with what God has done for us and through his servant and his son, Jesus. Well, we begin in our text today in Luke chapter 1, once again in verse 57. We are in the third week of our sermon series, The Life of Christ, where we are on this year-long journey going through the life of Jesus. And one of the things that is happening, if there's a piece of paper on that back table, and if you walked by it and you want one, it is outline notes for each of the sermons that we will be doing throughout the year. And there are notebooks, and we have some notebooks front and back. I think there might still be a few up here, but back there's a few left. And you may get those and follow along with us and follow along through the whole year. And I will say this, if you miss one, we keep the extras just in case. And so with that in mind, as this one gets started, one of the things you'll see on the notes on the page before you is a summary of the birth announcement. 2 weeks ago, it all started with the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah and announcing the birth of his son, the one that we're celebrating his birth today, John. I'm not going to go through all those. You can kind of see that. That was the little outline. But in today's celebration, it starts with, we're about 9 months later, and it starts with the birth of John. And there is a birth and there is a celebration. For you see, this is happening about 6 months prior to the birth of Jesus. John is coming, and throughout this, we'll see why John has come, why his story's in here. But we get to verse 58, and it tells us her relatives and her neighbors have come to celebrate with us. They've noticed how God has demonstrated his mercy on this older couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, by giving them a child in their old age. For you see, she had been barren. And throughout the Bible and throughout the Old Testament, as you see, every time those stories happen is God was doing something and going to do something through that child and for his people. And once again, it is happening here. And so we have this birth, and the relatives and the family, they all come around, the neighbors, and they're going to celebrate her just as the angel Gabriel had said. Elizabeth, your wife's going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And there's going to be a lot of celebration and joy, and that's what's taking place here. And then on the eighth day, they come together again for a little bit of another type of celebration. It's not so much a celebration for the little boy, but on the eighth day was when they would do the circumcision. Jewish covenant, the little boys, the eighth day, they would circumcise them. I can't say I had ever really remembered a circumcision. I was there for me being a little boy, and I don't remember any of it. But I did get to be there for my grandson that was born this last year. And I remember, and it's not often because they do things in hospitals, and they had the birth at a birthing center, and then this guy from San Jose, California comes to their place. And I guess, is it a Moyle? Okay, I got the word right. He comes, and I got to witness and wince a little bit at this. Yes, my grandson did cry, but he did well. He was strong and brave, and they gave him something to suck on while this was taking place. And he said he'd never seen one like that before. So that's, yeah. I don't even know why I said that, but yeah. Strike this from the record. Yeah. Now I got other things thrown through my head that I was going to say, but I'm not saying. So, yeah. But also during this celebration is they also will name the baby. Now, many of us, when a baby is about to be born, there's a lot of going through books and going through a variety of names. If it's a boy, if it's a girl, what we're doing here, what might this be? You know, with our four girls, we didn't know what any of them were going to be until they popped out. We didn't know. So we had a boy name picked out for the first two, and we thought, well, they apparently don't like that name. So on the next two, we went in different directions with boy names. We still got the girls. And here they come. And they come to Elizabeth and say, hey, you gonna name him Zachariah? Like his dad, Zach Jr.? She's like, no, his name's going to be John. You don't got anybody in your family named John. We don't know any Johns. They go over her head to her husband. Can you imagine that? And so they go to Zachariah and say, hey, and it says they did signs to him. So not only was he mute, could not speak when the announcement, the angel came, Gabriel, and because he kind of didn't believe it, the angel gave him a sign and says, okay, I'm going to make you mute until the time is fulfilled. And so he couldn't speak, but apparently he is deaf too, because now they're making signs to him to try to figure out, what are you going to name the child? And so he calls for a tablet in however he signed it, and he writes, his name is John. Now, he's more famously known as John the what? Baptist. That's right. This delineates him from the other John, the John and James, the John who would write the book of John and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation, the John who was one of the apostles of Jesus. This is John the Baptist. But John was not a Baptist, not when we think of Baptists nowadays. He did not start the Baptist denomination. That came like 1,600 years later. He was given this name, John the Baptist, because he was John the Baptizer. He was known as the one who would baptize people, and you find that a little bit later. The Greek word baptizo is the name. English didn't have a similar word. And so they just transliterated over from baptizo to baptism, baptize. And so he became John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And then something happened. All at once, my version says, his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. This is Zechariah. The one who has not been able to speak for at least 9 months is now able to talk. If you hadn't been able to do that for so long and all of a sudden it's opened, and the story behind all of that, what would your reaction be? How would you respond? Well, it says he began to praise God. He spoke in praise of God, being able to now once again speak. And the response of the people, it says, fear came on all those who are living around them. When you're in the presence of something holy, when you've been around something that's been miraculous, sometimes that's all you can do, is that there's an amazement and an awe and a fear that says, we are in the presence of something great and big. And that's what happened. And then word got out and they talked about it and word was spreading pretty quick. And I've learned that, you know what? Word gets around. You don't even need social media to get word around. People do a really good job of that. We really do. And word spread around pretty quick. And they were all trying to figure out, what's going to happen with this child? What's it going to turn out to be? something great's going to happen. For the hand of the Lord was certainly with them. I threw a little side note on my notes here. I did this morning as I was re-looking over this, but I thought, you know what? Maybe sometimes we need to be deaf to the noise of the world and learn to sit in silence so that we can often hear God, to what he is doing and wanting to do in us and through us and around us. But here's Zechariah, and God, once again, visits in a way that's miraculous, and when the time was fulfilled, which is now, he is now once again able to speak. And then the rest of the chapter, it tells us that he is going to go into this, he's going to prophesy poetically, if you will. But before I get into those verses here, I'm going to go back, because he's going to go back and look into his Old Testament scriptures, and he's going to remember some things of what God has done with his people. He's going to remember some things of what God is doing now with this child of his and what is about to come. And so I've got some scriptures, and if you've got the piece of paper, it'll tell you which ones there are. But I'm going to be reading out of Psalms and Isaiah and Malachi and then in Mark. And you can just sit and listen if you want. Some of these are going to come back in the text this morning in Luke chapter 1. Psalm 105, verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And then Psalm 106, starting with verse 6. We have sinned like our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses. But they rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, and he led them through the deeps as if going through the wilderness. And so he saved them from the hand of the one who hated him, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And later in that chapter, in verse 44, nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant for their sake. And he relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness. Isaiah 9. But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And then from Malachi, behold, Malachi 3:1, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And over to chapter 4, behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will be set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Extra bonus, if anybody can remember the Christmas carol from which that line comes. Yes, I'm looking at you, Rachel, song leader. Yeah. You got it right. If you were thinking in your head, hark the herald angels sing. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. He goes on in verse 5, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." And then I'm going to jump to the New Testament in Mark chapter 1, because Zechariah will look forward to the life of John. But it says, "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. This is a little bit of the backdrop. And down the road, when Zechariah, his mouth is open, and it tells us in verse 67, as he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesies and then he says these words, looking back and remembering things that were written, reminding them of what once was, and soon of what will one day be. This is given a name. It's called Benedictus. That's a Latin term meaning blessed. The very first line is blessed be. In fact, last week when the angel came to Mary, one of the things that Mary does after in response to the angel is she kind of waxes poetically and she begins to, it doesn't say she sang, but they've given the name and called it the Magnificat, another Latin term for that. The response of what God is doing in them sometimes calls for a response of us, a response of praise, a response of looking back at what God is doing with us and in us and through us and for us. And as this happens, we see that he goes back and he says that God has visited us. He has remembered us. He has redeemed us, rescuing us from our enemies. Over and over again, God seemed to be his job. Like a parent, always having to pick up after the child, coming in, swooping in, and trying to figure things out where they've messed up or made mistakes. God would bring them out of Egypt in their bondage to the Egyptians, and God would once again relieve them from the oppression throughout the book of Judges of the Philistines and the Assyrians and the other peoples around them. And when they went into Babylonian captivity, once again, God visited his people and he brought them out from the hands of their enemies. But ultimately, God is in the business of redeeming us and rescuing us from the greatest enemy, is Satan himself, and our sin that causes us to be separated from God. It tells us that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, and so he kept redeeming and rescuing his people until the time he would one day make a new covenant when his son would come on the scene. And he makes a new covenant with the people, this time to take away sin. And then he shifts from what God was doing back then to what God is now in the process of doing with his boy. His son, who's 8 days old right now. His son that he just named John. But his son, who he knows is going to have a hand in helping to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. To prepare the way for this Christ child. And so he says, "You, child," in verse 76, "will be called the prophet of the Most High." Gabriel, the angel, said to Mary, "And your son will be the son of the Most High." For see, Jesus was born of God. He was God and man. But here's John, not quite to the caliber of the son of the Most High, but he would be the prophet. He would be the one to come and to go before and to prepare the way He says, you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Reading from Mark 2, we can look forward ahead, a time when most likely Zechariah and Elizabeth will not be around to see. They're never mentioned, and as old as they are, by the time they have this boy, they're probably not going to get to see. So they're glimpsing in, hoping for what one day will be that they cannot see now and may never get to see on this side. Thus, I go back to the song, Thankful, and on this day we hope for what we still cannot see. There'll be a similar type of song that happens in a couple of weeks when we get to Simeon, and Simeon gets to hold the boy Jesus in his arms. When he gets, it says, I've seen the salvation of your people. And so John, he goes before. He's going to go before the very one who's going to come into the world to give light to a people that walk in darkness, to a people that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Showing us light and guiding us into the way of peace. I thought about the aspect of people who walk and sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Not all who sit in the shadow of death actually sit in darkness. Last weekend, we were in Oklahoma for my uncle's funeral. He married my aunt. Aunt Carolyn was the youngest, and they're the babies of the family. They're the ones that are left. And I can tell you this, that at that funeral, though there was sadness and loss, this family was not sitting in darkness because they knew the hope that my uncle had in Jesus and that they have too, that one day they will see him. Interesting thing with this uncle, about 3 years ago, I think it was, we hosted our family reunion. We do this every other year. And they came to Amarillo. I wondered, will they ever come to Amarillo? They did. But we celebrated in the fellowship hall when we did our big meal, and then we do an auction. And at the auction, it's a way to raise money for the next reunion for whoever's in charge of it that they have money to work with. And so one of the things that always happens every year is people make things for it. My Uncle Jim was a carpenter. And everything he brought was something that he made with his hands out of wood. And almost every time we did this, our family would bid on it and overbid and outbid everybody else because we always wanted something from Uncle Jim. And so therefore, I have a cornhole set, and I have frames that he has made. And Bethany, she's got a piece of furniture. It was the joy to the world. I was doing good until I looked at her, and she was crying. So, yeah. This is the laugh part. That year, my uncle made urns, if you will. He made wooden boxes for people to put the ashes of their loved one in, and he brought it to the auction to auction them off. Nobody bid on them. And so he gave them to me, and he said, Lenny, why don't you keep them? You'll need to get them stained. And in fact, Alan Morris stained them for me. And we gave them away to somebody. He goes, in case there's somebody who can't afford or who needs. And that's what he did. He would make them, and he would give them to churches and to the local funeral homes around so that people would have them in need. interesting. He made the box that he was buried in. Small box, because they cremated him, and then out at the cemetery, a small, instead of the big hole, it was a smaller hole this time. But I can tell you, that family, sitting in the darkness of grief and in the shadow of death, truly were not sitting in darkness, because the light of Jesus that gave them hope. You know, the candles, it's been mentioned. These candles that represent the light of Jesus also, and as we kind of hone in a little bit, is his peace too. And the closer that we get to the candles, the more we sit in its light, and the warmer we feel the fire from the candle. So too, kind of in the same way, the closer we get to Jesus and sit in his light, the more we feel his peace. You know, John prepared the way for Jesus. He was the forerunner. He was the one pointing to Jesus. In fact, I believe he literally was in John 1 when he says, "Look," or "Behold, the Lamb of God." I think John was pointing over to Jesus, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know what? John may have been the forerunner to Jesus, but you and I also can prepare the way and point people to Jesus. We can prepare the way and by how we live. And when people see how we live and they know that we follow Jesus and it matches up with the character of Christ, we're preparing the way. When they hear our words, when we get to share the message of Jesus with somebody else, we get to help point the way. And maybe you're new enough in this that you go, "I don't know what to say. I'm just learning how to live this." That sometimes it happens in the inviting. We got a lady in this room right now, and I don't want to embarrass her. She was baptized several months ago. About every week, she's got somebody here with us that she's invited with her as she helps prepare the way and point people to Jesus. So just as John did, may we be like John in the way in which we help prepare people and point them to Jesus. May we continually point them in the way that we live, by our actions, by our words that we speak, and even by the invitations to come along with them, with us. And why do we do this? So that they too can know the way of peace. So that they can too know the Prince of Peace. So they can know Jesus. Two things. If you're somebody who knows Jesus and knows that way of peace, I pray that you will work at helping to prepare and pointing people to Jesus. That you think about it often and figure out how you can maybe best do that. But if you don't, and here's number two, if you don't know the way of peace, if you don't know Jesus, then I pray that you will talk to somebody who's come with you. I will be up here. Find somebody that you know that knows Jesus and knows that peace and ask them. Let me pray for you. Father, I do pray for those who may not know your peace. Maybe they're sitting in this room right now. Maybe they're watching or listening through their TV or online. I pray they would not walk away from hearing all of this and walk away not doing something about it. Lord, I pray for those of us who sit in these pews and come week after week that our lives, wherever we are, wherever we go, in our neighborhoods and in our jobs and at our schools, that by how we live, by what we say, that we help point people to Jesus. May your Spirit guide us and lead us and give us strength. And may we stick close to the light so that we too can know his peace. And it is through Jesus, our light, our Savior, our Prince of Peace, that we pray. Amen.